We're turning to that last section of the first chapter of Ruth. This will be, I believe, the last time we'll be looking at these verses. And we'll be moving on in the will of the Lord next week to the chapter 2 of the book of Ruth. But we have been examining the verses 19 to 22, and I trust we have been extracting from them rich food indeed for our souls. The story you know. Naomi and Ruth are journeying toward Bethlehem. For Naomi, it is, of course, a returning home. For Ruth, it is a venture in faith amongst a people that by the grace of God has become her people. She has been saved, a Moabite by nature, but translated by God's wonderful mercy into the kingdom of God. And she's become an Israelite indeed. An Israelite indeed. Let's read from verse 19. So they too went until they came to Bethlehem. And it came to pass when they were come to Bethlehem that all the city was moved about them. And they said, Is this Naomi? And she said unto them, Call me not Naomi, call me Mara. For the Almighty hath dealt very bitterly with me. I went out full, and the Lord hath brought me home again empty. Why then call ye me Naomi, seeing the Lord hath testified against me, and the Almighty hath afflicted me? So Naomi returned, and Ruth the Moabitess, her daughter-in-law with her, which returned out of the country of Moab. And they came to Bethlehem in the beginning of the barley harvest. In our looking at those few words, we have noticed the prevailing grace of God in the life of the Christian. God will not leave you in Moab. He will not let you wander if you're one of His sheep. But He will draw you home again. But we noticed also that backsliding, the time in Moab will leave its mark upon you. It'll leave its mark. And it'll be there to remind you of your folly all your days on this earth. And I'm sure that that would have been the case with Naomi. The people, her neighbors, when they saw her, spoke, I think, with a degree of shock in their voice. Is this Naomi? There was such a change in the woman as a result of the hardships and the afflictions that she had passed through, brought upon her head by her backslidings. Then we noticed that the repentant backslider, the backslider who's returning to the Lord and fellowship with God, becomes very conscious of the mercy that they forsook. They feel the folly of it all. When she was in Moab and when she first traveled to Moab, I can see her, and I'm sure you can as well, traveling down the road with her husband discussing the plans that they were hoping to put into action. They were thinking of what they would be doing and the new commencement, the new start in life that this move to Moab had brought to them. But now she realizes that she was entirely a fool. She was a fool. She says, I went out full, verse 21, and the Lord hath brought me home again empty. I had plenty. I didn't need to go out. I was full here in Bethlehem. But I just didn't see it. You know, as many as a Christian has everything they could ask for, and they don't see it, and driven by a spirit of discontentment with God's mercy and goodness, they go off into the world, and soon they're truly empty. They'll pay a price. The repentant backslider, I tell you, becomes conscious. This is the first sign that repentance has indeed been granted. They become conscious of the fullness of God's mercy to them in the past. And in our final consideration of these verses, I want us to underscore the words that bring the chapter to a close. It says, "And they came to Bethlehem in the beginning of the barley harvest." Such little snippets of information are put there, you know, for our learning, men and women. If God gives you a time of something, then there's something about that time that you need to note. And God tells us here when it was that Naomi and Ruth arrived in Bethlehem. It was at the beginning of the barley harvest. And there are truths that we want to draw from that statement. And the first one that I want to notice, for we're now considering as a main point this Lord's Day morning, God's wise and wonderful timing. You know, God does order things very correctly, dear Christian. Don't you think God gets it wrong? You know, when you have your plans all made, and you're just about, as it were, to lay hold upon the fulfillment of those plans, and suddenly they evaporate. You know how angry you are, and vexed you are, and frustrated you are, and disappointed you are, and it's all you can do not to turn on God and say things that no believer ought ever even to think. You're vexed with God and annoyed with God. But God's timing is always perfect. God's timing is always perfect. We especially know that to be true when it comes to matters like deliverance. The Lord just steps in at the right time to deliver us, doesn't he? We think of how God stepped in to deliver Israel at the Exodus, when there was Pharaoh's hosts about to trample them into the dust, and God stepped in and opened up the Red Sea. And again and again and again we will see that. No greater demonstration of this truth will be seen than that which has yet to take place when the Lord Jesus returns. The Lord Jesus will return at precisely the right moment. The right moment. He will intervene. When Antichrist thinks he has the victory, and he's reaching out his hands, as it were, to lay hold of a final triumph over God, Jesus Christ will intervene. He will intervene. Well, while we readily acknowledge the timing of God and the wisdom of God in intervening in the lives of his people in mercy, we're not quite so quick to recognize how God likewise shows the same wonderful timing when he deals with our lives in chastening. But it's right. It's right. And here we have a demonstration of God's wonderful timing when it comes to the lives of his people. In every occasion in which he steps in, he intervenes, it's always just right. We mightn't see it at first, but we will see it. Here we have the Savior, our Lord Jesus, as the great King and Head of the Church, looking after these two young ones, for they are but lambs. Ruth certainly was but a young believer, and Naomi, though much longer in the Lord, yet nevertheless returning to her first love. And how the Lord wonderfully intervenes here and brings them back to Bethlehem just at the right time, at the beginning of the barley harvest. The first thing that we want to particularly notice that this was the springtime. The barley harvest was the springtime, round about March time of our calendar. Beautiful time in Israel. As you know, we hope to be able to get to Israel. It was a gift given us from the church, that is my wife and I, given us from the church to travel to Israel. Didn't work out last year, but we're hoping, it didn't work out this year either, but we're hoping that next springtime it will be possible to be there. And I'm so thankful that it will, I trust, just be at the time of the year that Ruth and Naomi traveled into Bethlehem. Bethlehem's not that far away from Jerusalem. So it'll just be the very atmosphere, the very weather conditions, and it will be that time of the year in Israel, if we are permitted of God to go there in the springtime of next year, that these two women arrived. It's a beautiful time of the year. It's that time referred to in the Song of Solomon, the chapter 2 and the verse 12. The flowers appear on the earth. The time of the singing of the birds is come, and the voice of the turtle is heard in our land. They arrived, and it seemed as if nature woke up to welcome them. It seemed as if the birds were singing, the flowers were appearing, just to welcome these two women to Bethlehem. You know, in spring, you have a wonderful picture of what revival is all about. You have a wonderful picture, I might say, too, of what happens to a person who is born again. In our unconverted state, it's a bit like wintertime. In fact, it's very like wintertime. Everything is dead and cold and lifeless. But then in springtime, a wonderful change takes place. And it's a change within. It's a change that's wrought beneath the surface of the soil. That's where the wonderful miracle takes place. The flowers appearing and the birds singing, that's all the result of a hidden, secret change that the wonderful providence of God has wrought. God has put it in the vegetation to spring forth at that time. God has put it in the breast of the little birds to begin to sing and to frolic in the warming air and to start building their nests. And there's life and life abundant beginning to bustle around the hedgerows and the fields in springtime. That's what it is to be born again. You become a new creature in Christ. You take on an entirely different appearance. It's also a picture of revival. That's what God does in a time of revival. He takes a life and changes it wonderfully and brings forth that which is beautifying and refreshing in the nation as well, in the congregation. When revival touches the individual or a group, or indeed a whole nation, there is this wonderful change wrought. Wonderful change wrought. And here were these two women, and they were traveling, and they were coming back again, and nature welcomed them. Nature welcomed them back to the bosom of Israel, as far as Naomi was concerned, and it was a welcome indeed for the new convert. Both sight and sound was breaking forth. We have no idea you know really what beauty there is in the fields of Israel. Perhaps I'd be right in saying that there is much in Israel that's not like our country, that's nicely divided by hedges and fences and so forth, but there's wide expanses that is just rolling lands without fences or boundaries. And in the springtime, that whole area becomes alive with flowers. Alive with flowers of every color and hue. And I'm sure the air must be heavy with the scent and the sweetness of the flowers. That's the time that God brought these two women to Bethlehem. Wouldn't it make you pine for revival? Wouldn't it make you long for revival? The air today is filled with the raucous sounds of wicked men. Every news broadcast proclaims some new iniquity. And the air is foul with the vapors that emanate from the open mouth of hell. But God can change it. God can change it. He can give us a springtime. The old earth becomes beautiful once again. Springtime, it was barley harvest time. You see, the conditions in Israel are much more pleasant than we have here. So that even in the winter times, there's still a measure of growing takes place. And oftentimes, growth is so much quicker than what we have here, so that there are a number of harvests throughout the year in Israel. Crops are coming into season at different times, somewhat unlike here, where we have just the one harvest season. But here is the beginning of the year. Here is the springtime, and it's barley harvest time. It's barley harvest time. You remember what it was that made Naomi begin to think of going home? Remember what it was she heard? If you look further back in the chapter 1 in the verse 6, we read that then she arose with her daughters-in-law, that she might return from the country of Moab. For she had heard in the country of Moab how that the Lord had visited his people in giving them bread. That's what she heard. She heard that a time of plentifulness, a time of bounty, had come to Israel. And what she heard prompted her. It awakened her. And caused her to consider returning again. It was like the awakening of a call within the nature or within the breast of the migrating birds. Soon be time for the swallows to go again. And who could blame them the way the weather has been this last while? But soon you'll see them lining up on the telephone wires. Who tells them to do that? Throughout the summertime, swallows do not mingle with other swallows. They live in little family groups surrounding the nests that they have. And they don't mingle. There might be another little group of swallows at a farm not too far away, but they don't really mingle. But there you see them beginning to gather. Not just the little family that has been raised and the parent birds, but also birds from other areas. And they're all beginning to gather together. What makes them do that? Who tells them it's time? Why, this is the hand of God. This is the wonderful governing of His creation that God exercises. How can we see these creatures without stopping and marveling and wondering at it all? And there these little ones will head off And they will be like Naomi. She's going home. She's traveled the road before, but not Ruth. Ruth has never been this road before. And amongst all those swallows, there will be ones born here, never were anywhere else. Never have been outside Kilskerry. And that's a pretty limited itinerary for anyone. But they'll fly all the way to South Africa. There's not a boy or girl here would know what road to start on for South Africa. You wouldn't know where to go or how to start. But those little creatures, guided by God, will be starting for South Africa soon. Very soon. Because it's time. And God is putting it in their little hearts, minds to go. And so, into the heart, into the mind of Naomi, there came a longing to return when she heard that God had visited his people in giving them bread. And here she is, and she arrives in Bethlehem, and lo and behold, what she heard was true. She wasn't disappointed. Now reverse the scene. What the prodigal son heard of the far country was a lie. He heard that it was marvelous and it was wonderful, and when he went there, he discovered it wasn't so. He was soon starving. There wasn't a word of truth in the description given him, that description which caused him to leave his father's house. But that which falls on our ears, that report of God's love and God's goodness and God's provision in Christ, is all true. And the one who steps out will find that it is indeed true. Even as the one who listens to the stories about the world will find it all a lie. It'll all be a lie. There is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. Seemed right. Seemed right to go to Moab for Elimelech and Naomi. It seemed right, but it was a lie. Now she has heard a message. It seems right to return to Israel. God had visited his people. And she comes back and she discovers this report is true. God had visited his people and visited his people in giving them bread. For here was the barley harvest. As she walked into the neighborhood, the fields were ripe, full of ripe barley. And the laborers were out there reaping the barley. Oh, what she had heard was abundantly true. True beyond her imagination. You know, in this book, men and women, God reports to us that there's a barley harvest to be enjoyed. There's an abundance of bread to be enjoyed if we will but return unto Him. If we will but return unto Him. I was thinking of that just this morning. And there are so many portions in God's Word that would set this out. But I want to read just a few verses to you from two passages. First, from Psalm 81. And beginning at the verse 10. I am the Lord thy God, which brought thee out of the land of Egypt. Open thy mouth wide, and I will fill it. But my people would not hearken to my voice, and Israel would none of me. So I gave them up unto their own heart's lusts, and they walked in their own counsels. That's what happened to Naomi and Elimelech. God gave them up. Let them follow their own desires and appetites. And they paid the price. Oh, that my people had hearkened unto me and Israel had walked in my ways. I should soon have subdued their enemies and turned my hand against their adversaries. The haters of the Lord should soon have submitted themselves unto Him, but their time should have endured, that is, the time of my people should endure, have endured forever. He should have fed them also with the finest of the wheat and with honey out of the rock, should I have satisfied thee. This is what God says. If we but yield ourselves to Him, return to Him, walk in His way, obey His word, look at the abundance we will enjoy. The Church of Jesus Christ today complains. It complains about deadness. It complains about no interest. It complains about a famine in the land. But God says, if you come to me, if you obey me, what does it mean? It means doing exactly what Naomi and Ruth did. Turning back from our old ways. And going back again to Bethlehem. That's the picture. That's the scene that God wants to present before your eyes to thus illustrate to you how it is that the Church of Jesus Christ can once again enjoy fullness. We get back again to God. In the book of Hosea and in the chapter 14 of that book, we have a further passage that underscores what I'm saying. Hosea chapter 14 verse 1, O Israel, return unto the Lord thy God, for thou hast fallen by thine iniquity. That's what happened. Elimelech and Naomi, they fell by their iniquity. Naomi's walking away from three graves in Moab. Death, death stamped that adventure into that land. Oh, they fell all right, and it was because of their iniquity, their backsliding. Take with you words and turn to the Lord. Say unto Him, you don't even have to work out what you should say. God tells you what to say. You don't have to go buy anything expensive to placate God. He's just waiting to hear you utter words. And the words that He would give you. Take away all iniquity and receive us graciously. So will we render the calves of our lips. It's a lovely phrase. The calves of our lips. The calf was a common sacrifice in Israel. Well, God says, it's the calves of your lips I'm looking for. Those words of sacrifice. Those words that will cost you. Those words that are not coming cheaply and meaninglessly from your lips. But those words that you mean, repentant words. Asher shall not save us. Give up your hopes of deliverance from worldly nations and worldly sources. Asher shall not save us. We will not ride upon horses, neither will we say any more to the work of our hands, ye are our gods. For in thee the fatherless findeth mercy. That's the calves of our lips. You know, we have that sacrifice to offer God here in Ulster. And Free Presbyterians, we have to offer to God that sacrifice. There's not one of us but have to stop looking to earthly, worldly things as the means of our help, our contentment, our fullness. We have neglected the Lord. We've turned from the Lord. And we've said to the work of our own hands, ye are our gods. We've made gods of earthly things. We've put them before the Lord. We've put earthly business, earthly pleasures, earthly comforts, earthly considerations in every sphere of life before God. In a day or two across Ulster, there would be many, many Christian schools opening if God's people had not put earthly things before God. Christians in this country have never been so well off. And it's that very affluence that has stood between them and bringing up their children in a Christian school, for they haven't been willing to part with their money. That's why we don't have Christian schools. I look to Asher. They provide free education. Of course, it's education that's tainted completely and born of the principles and the thinking of Asher. And it's going to turn our children into little Asherites, little Assyrians. And that's what it has done. I've seen Christians in the Free Presbyterian Church, and I'll not go outside of it. I've seen them attending God's house, and they're holding the hand of a little Assyrian. They're dressed like an Assyrian. That is, they're dressed like the world. The hair on their head like an old rooster's comb. Shirt tail out. No tie. Where did they learn that? In the school of Asher. We have said to the work of our own hands, ye are our gods. We put these things first. That's what's happened in this world, in this age, in this generation, to God's people. God's waiting on His people to say, this is what we have done. This is the sins that we have committed. And God then responds in the verse 4. I will heal their backsliding. I will love them freely, for mine anger is turned away from him. Mine anger is turned away from him. Those words will turn away God's anger. Those words of repentance. I will be as the dew unto Israel. He shall grow as the lily and cast forth his roots as Lebanon. His branches shall spread and his beauty shall be as the olive tree and his smell as Lebanon. A pine forest. Scenting the air for miles and miles and miles and miles. All because they have repented and offered the calves of their lips. They that dwell under his shadow shall return. They shall revive as the corn and grow as the vine, and the scent thereof shall be as the wine of Lebanon. Ephraim shall say, what have I to do any more with idols? I have heard him and observed him. I am like a green fir tree. From me is thy fruit found. Who is wise, and he shall understand these things? Prudent, and he shall know them. For the ways of the Lord are right, and the just shall walk in them. But the transgressors shall fall therein. God says this. Here we are in Moab. And there comes to our ears reports. God has visited his people. And done wonderful things.
and is willing to do it for us. That's what we're hearing from Hosea. That's what we're hearing from the psalmist. And we could add many passages to that telling us the same thing. Will you believe the report? Will you set out, Christian, as God helps you to get away from Moab and back again to Bethlehem? And if you do, you'll find it's barley harvest there. It's barley harvest there. Oh, may God have mercy on us and bring us again to Himself. One last little thought. It says, they came to Bethlehem in the beginning of the barley harvest. It was just the beginning. There was more to come. There was more to come. That little word beginning underscores the fact that there were more delights to follow now that they were back again in Bethlehem. Men and women, there's much. Much awaiting us if we seek the Lord once again. It will be the beginning of days. It will be the beginning of days. God says, I'll restore unto you the years that the locusts have eaten. The beginning of days. Oh, let's think of these two women. And let you and I pray that God would put it in our hearts to do what they did. Respond to the report. There was mercy in God's land. And seek Him out and return again unto Him. And may we then discover, and we will indeed then discover, that it's springtime, it's the beginning of the barley harvest, and God has much more to give us. May the Lord bless His word to our hearts for His name's sake. Let us bow in prayer. Father in heaven, help us to walk that road that Naomi and Ruth walked. Help us to turn our back on Moab and its failures and disappointments and disillusionments and travel back again to Bethlehem, the house of bread. O God, bring us into the springtime of grace once more. Bring us to the place where the birds are singing and the flowers appear in the earth. And the atmosphere is sweet with the garments of Christ. Lord Jesus, have mercy on us. For we're no wiser than the little ones of whom we were speaking. We wouldn't know where to begin, Lord. We don't know where to begin. But Lord, we cry unto Thee. Come lead Thy people back again to revival blessing. We ask it for Jesus' sake. Amen.